You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Russ Cook, he sure did. How about it? What's going on, everybody? Welcome to First Take. You must have enjoyed that game, Stephen A. Smith.
I did. I did. What's up, man?
Oh. Hold on. What's up, man? The Cowboys lose a shootout, and you're sitting here with a long face.
What's the deal?
The NBA Finals.
Yeah. What about it? LeBron's in the finals. It's good.
You predicted this, I think.
It's good for the network.
L.A., Miami.
Oh, you wanted to be there.
First Take.
Oh, you wanted to be out.
First Take has been at the finals for the last several years, have we not?
Yep.
So we would have been in South Beach and La La.
Basically for a month. For
this
you,
dude's
6 weeks
because the
conference finals.
Been going to Cleveland for the last million
years.
It's
all years. Good. Max, you didn't want to be on South Beach. It's all good.
This is what I think you should do, Stephen A. I think you should just go to L.A. and pretend that the Lakers are playing out there. Just pretend.
Yeah, maybe you should, Stephen A. Not a bad idea, right?
I'm thinking about it. I mean, I got to protest in some capacity. I mean, to go to have South Beach and La La, and then instead we got to be in New York or watching it in Central Florida. I mean, the bubbles
the whole
in Orlando.
Rooftop.
I wish I could remember the movie from
the
80s where you could wish for anything, but you had to be very specific.
I'm going to Google it. I know what it is.
Walt Disney. We couldn't have something in Miami.
All right, let's talk about Dak. 472 yards in a losing effort. Dallas, talk to me.
We're only stopping ourselves. So we've got to get out of our own way. Be cleaner with the ball, play smarter football, and find a way to start faster, whatever it is. But I'm going to trust the coaches, know these players. We're going to go back, and we're going to figure out a way to get this thing right and clean it up.
Speaking of L.A., look who's here, Mr. L.A. himself.
Yeah, man, I don't want you out there. Stay right here. Don't want you in L.A., don't want you in Miami. Just stay right here and do your show.
I thought the brother loved me.
I do, but I just...
You go.
I
know, just go and pretend.
I'll watch y'all show enough to know that Laker hate is somewhere in the
area.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Not in here.
Not me. Don't look at me. I'm a Lakers fan.
Oh, please.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Please.
Let's talk about the Cowboys. Yeah. What's the biggest problem with them, Stephen A.? What's the deal?
Well, for me, the fact that they're the Cowboys, I mean, they just find different ways to find a way to lose. I mean, this was
great
the
analysis.
It was just a native. But, I mean, you look at their secondary. This kid, Diggs, had a really, really rough day. 8 receptions for about over 100 yards. Gave up about 2 touchdowns, so he was in their secondary, and they were targeting him. They threw about 11 passes in his direction, and 8 of them were completed for what I mentioned. And so you've got that going on. Obviously, Tyler Lockett, he was open all day long. He had about 9 receptions for 100 yards and 3 touchdowns. DK Metcalf should have had 2 touchdowns if he wasn't playing around and messing up on a one-time where Diggs actually came from behind him and stripped him. So obviously that discounted the touchdown. That was an automatic touchdown as far as I was concerned. But anyway, you look at it, the Dallas Cowboys, they're loaded offensively, even though Ezekiel Elliott only had 34 yards rushing. They're still loaded offensively. You got Dak Prescott. He threw for 472 yards. We know that even though he threw 2 interceptions, we know how potent that offense is. And he just keeps coming and coming and coming. And their receivers are nothing to be questioned. But I got to tell you, I'd be remiss in not giving love to Aldon Smith. I mean, we all know the kind of pass that he's had and how much trouble that he's had. I mean, this dude on their defensive line, I mean, how many pressures did he have yesterday? He had 3 quarterback sacks yesterday. This dude has been nothing short of sensational. He's been a monster on that defensive line. But in the end, when you really, really dissect it and you look at the Dallas Cowboys and what the problem is, it's primarily with their secondary. They can throw on anybody offensively, but defensively, anybody seems to be able to throw on them. That's their problem right now. They can get to the quarterback. They can pressure, okay? But their secondary is their weakness, and it showed yesterday.
Here's the problem with the Dallas Cowboys. They're a slightly above-average team. Not just now, but last year and the year before and the year before that. And you can go all the way back to 2010. They average 8.5 wins and 7.5 losses a season. They're a half game better than average. Year in and year out, it's something. And let me tell you why that is. Oh, they're bad. No, they don't have bad luck. Stop. Maybe we overrate their talent a little bit year in and year out because they get so much more press than everyone else. But I don't really think that's it either. This is what it is. Stephen Jones deserves to be commended because he was given his place. I don't want to hear about what he worked for. His daddy owns the team. That's why he has the job he has. That said, most people whose daddies just gave them something would not do as good a job as Stephen Jones. He deserves credit. In the most competitive football league in the world, with a salary cap and everything, he's able to consistently deliver a slightly above average product. That's not easy. I mean that seriously. And if that's good enough for the Cowboys, America's team, and I guess that's good enough, right? Does Jerry Jones go out and get the best executive he can find? Or does he give it to his kid, who's competent? There's no two ways about it. Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones together make a competent front office, but that's all it is. It's nothing special. It's a half game above average. They're 1-2 now. They're 8-8 last year. They were 10-6, 9-7. They went 13-3, but they went 4-12. It's always a little bit above 500. 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, 6-10. This is the Dallas Cowboys. They're a 9-7, 8-8 team. For 10 years, since 2010, Jerry Jones's ego prevents them from being great. And it's more of the same this year. That's why they hired Mike McCarthy. No one was banging down his door. A coach they could control who wouldn't take the spotlight off the Joneses.
Key, you played for the Cowboys. I thought the problem was the defense. Talk to me.
I think it is the defense, Molly. When you look at, much like Stephen A. just said, the secondary. And I thought Mike Nolan coming out of retirement and coaching the defensive side of the ball would certainly help them out. Stephen Jones, along with Will Clay, are the two kind of heads of the personnel department for the Cowboys. They've done a tremendous job in getting certain free agents, finding certain guys. They've done a tremendous job in drafting certain guys. But what they've yet to do is fill the vacancies in the secondary. That's been their problem for many years. You talk about their record over time. Yeah, they've been average at best. I think even though they're 1-2 this year and it was an onside kick that got them that victory against Atlanta, as Stephen A. would say, some stupid, dumb,
idiots.
You look at it, they were playing Seattle, guys. Y'all act like they was playing the Bengals or something. That was Seattle. That was the favorite in the MVP race right now, Russell Wilson. That is Pete Carroll, who has two Super Bowl appearances and a win. It's not like they was playing against chopped liver. Mm-hmm. And they offensively, they did everything you expected for them to do with Mike McCarthy's offense.
Against the bad pass defense, though.
It doesn't matter, though. Max, it doesn't matter. They took care of business second week in a row on the offensive side. That was one of their biggest problems a year ago, is what was Jason Garrett doing with the offense and Kellen Moore? They were struggling. Now that they've somewhat fixed the offense, and Dak Prescott looks like a $40 million quarterback week in and week out. Now they got to fix the secondary. And they got to put it all together. They're in a bad division. The division is horrible. Yeah. So they still can
They're always
going to
have a shot with that.
Yeah, they're always going to have a shot. Always.
Well, first of all, let me get back to Max's point because I think you're wrong. Okay, I think you're wrong when you sit up there and you say, you know what, this is not a good team or whatever. I think they are a very good team. There have been high potent, high octane offenses in NFL history who haven't won Super Bowls. Air Coryell, Dan Fouts, those boys. Obviously, even though the greatest show on turf did win the Super Bowl in St. Louis, there was another time they lost it when they were held in relative check by the New England Patriots. You look at some of the potent offenses in NFL history. Look at Dan Marino all those years. Yeah,
Mark look at Kansas City last year.
That's right. Mark Superduper, Mark Clayton, all of these boys. You have situations where they don't win Super Bowls. That's entirely different than not winning to the degree that you highlighted that Dallas is not winning. When you look at the talent that the Dallas Cowboys have, they've had the talent. They have the talent now. You look at them right now, they should be better. There is no question
about
it.
Every year, though.
I understand that, but what I'm saying to you, especially this year, when you look at their roster, this is in terms of talent on the roster, they are a Super Bowl contending roster.
You thought that last year.
I predicted they wouldn't even make the playoffs last year. But the point, that was Damian Woody that predicted they'd win the Super Bowl. You know how Woody was. But the point is, when you look at Dallas right now, if you think about
they got everything except the secondary.
Their secondary is highly suspect. We've seen teams in NFL history that have had suspect defenses, let alone suspect secondaries, and they were still a playoff team. Yeah. When you look at the Dallas guys, I would not say that they are below average or just average team.
I said they're a tick above average. Yeah. I gave Stephen Jones credit for that.
They're better than that.
Guys, they're 1-2. They're 1-2 right now. They could have been 0-3. I agree with you. They're not terrible. They're not terrible. You know what, Key? I agree. They're not terrible. You know what they are? A tick above average, I would guess, by the end of the year. Just like last year.
Look,
just like the last 10 years.
What they should do, though, is they need to go sign Earl Thomas and bring some championship pedigree back to that secondary.
You know, you can point to the secondary. There's always an excuse for a team that's not better than they are. It's a leaky boat, right? That's the NFL. There's a lot to worry about. So in the end, you are what your record says you are. Yes, they can make the playoffs. They should make the playoffs this year. The division's terrible.
They're tied for first in their division.
Brother, they're 1-2. They're 1-2.
In Seattle, though.
You can't go back. And not only that.
Tied for first in the division.
Time out. There are plenty of coaches in the NFL. We can look at it. We can say, give them Dallas's roster.
All right.
And they would do a better job.
Coaches?
Well, again, because of what you pointed out with Jerry and Steven.
Right.
But the point is,
a roster spot.
Yeah, right. Nothing wrong with them. Nothing. But a roster spot, when you look at their roster, it's up there. They're not a tick above average. Not a roster.
Here's the deal.
Not as a roster.
Max, they play the Browns on Sunday. If they lose that one, maybe I'll be with you.
If they win it, they're 2-2. You know what they are? Average.
Whatever.
Man.
All right. Start your mornings with Keyshawn, Zubin, and Jay Will, 6 to 10 every day. Why did you all have Zubin wearing a red do-rag the other day when I did
that? That was
the
him
show?
And Jay Will's bet.
Okay.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees each threw 3 TD passes as the Packers outplayed the Saints 37-30 in New Orleans. The Packers have scored 122 points during their 3-0 start. For Brees, it was his 94th career game with 3 pass TDs, breaking a tie with Peyton Manning for most in NFL history.
Feel so much more comfortable in the offense this year. And I think Matt, has really settled into the rhythm of the play calling, and it's made my job a lot easier.
1-2 right now, and it's been a while since we felt that, and yet 3 years ago we were 0-2. So a little bit of a gut check, and yet we're not playing well enough. Let's not fool ourselves. We're making too many mistakes, and we're not playing disciplined enough on both sides of the ball, and that's really just the truth.
Sean Payton not happy. Always good to see Dan Orlovsky. I'm loving the green, Hunter Green. It's great on
you. Thank you. I won the Masters yesterday.
Okay, there we go.
The Celtics got, eliminated.
But it's been a rough couple of weeks.
Wow,
it took 10 seconds.
Max, are you more excited about the Packers or are you concerned about the Saints?
More excited about the Packers. I actually thought the Saints played their best game of the season, but it wasn't enough to beat the Packers because the Packers have Aaron Rodgers. And this is what everyone's very quick to say. Russell Wilson's the MVP right now, and you can make a very strong case. Is he better than Aaron Rodgers right now? Mahomes is the best in the business, but is anyone playing better than Aaron Rodgers right now? Aaron Rodgers, like Mahomes, can do things that no one else can. It's just Rodgers and Mahomes. Physically, they can make throws no one else can make consistently. You can get guys like your guy, Carson Wentz, Dan Orlovsky, but who at his best can do things and you squint and cut, but consistently, Aaron Rodgers is just special. And the Packers' defense wasn't great, and Drew Brees was good. But the difference in the game, like if you switched quarterbacks, the Saints win. Because Rodgers can do things no one else can do. So when you consider that maybe, I don't care how the relationship started with LaFleur, I'm talking about right now. It wasn't working with McCarthy. Maybe the game had passed him by. Maybe he's readjusted. We'll see with the Cowboys. But you can't say that about LaFleur. LaFleur, and Rodgers are working well together. They were 13-3, seemingly not getting along, seemingly not really seeing Aaron Rodgers, just learning things and game managing. Now in year two, it looks like the handcuffs are off. The Packers are capable of beating anybody, So I'm very excited about Aaron Rodgers in this kind of like mini comeback, late career surge.
Mini comeback. Interesting that you use those words. I don't view it that way, considering the fact that they were 13-3 last year in the NFC Championship game, just 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl appearance. You want to sit up there and act like we're seeing something so totally different now? So be it. Aaron Rodgers clearly is on a mission. I get all of that. But to me, the big concern would be about the New Orleans Saints. I think that right now, listen, we understand that Michael Thomas was out there. Emmanuel Sanders has been targeted a total of you know, he's got like 8 receptions, rather, in 3 games. I mean, he's not a scrub. What the hell is going on there? The entire offense has evolved around Alvin Kamara. He was targeted. He had like 13 receptions, was targeted about 15 times. 7 times he actually broke tackles after the catch and made stuff happen. So you're throwing underneath them little, you know, little short routes, and you're feeding him the ball, and he's making things happen. New Orleans offense historically with Sean Payton and Drew Brees has been about so much more than that. They could go deep. They can throw in between the numbers. They target their tight ends a little bit more. Obviously, Michael Thomas was your primary target, but you look at Cook, and he was only targeted 4 times last night. You would expect with Michael Thomas out that they would utilize him and Sanders a little bit more. That's not the case. Alvin Kamara is averaging more than 4.5 yards a carry, yet you only give him the ball to rush about 6 times because you were busy throwing him the football, but he could run the football effectively for you, too. Latavius Murray is averaging 4.8 yards a carry. You gave him the ball 12 times. Maybe you should have ran the ball a little bit more. Maybe you should have done a little bit more to keep the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. And you also got to remember that with Aaron Rodgers, you're talking about him and that hard count. No crowd in attendance or anything like that, but he's drawing people off the line of scrimmage, drawing them off sides, just doing things to literally irritate them. And Taysom Hill obviously turned the ball over that put them in a position for a go-ahead score that New Orleans simply couldn't overcome. There's a lot of things to point to, but in the end, I think it comes down to this. The offense has been basically about Alvin Kamara, and they have more than him. They have more than him. And usually somebody with Drew Brees' intellect and his skill and his experience would know better than relying upon just one guy the way that he did with Alvin Kamara. It's almost like, oh, my God, Michael Thomas is gone, so this is all I have. That's not all you have. They should have utilized more of their weapons. They haven't been doing that in the 2 games that Michael Thomas has been out, and I think that's a big reason they're struggling right now, and they got to get it together.
But this is about Green Bay. I mean, this is about Green Bay through 3 weeks becoming – they're the crown of the NFC right now.
Yeah.
They are the team to beat in the NFC right now.
Over Seattle?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Their defense is way better than Seattle's. If Green Bay just starts to tackle – but that last night's tackling – like, there's so many missed tackles. They got to stop playing so much man coverage. But and Kenny Clark not playing is a huge deal. He's one of the best defensive tackles in football. So they're the most complete team. Guys, they just hung 37 on the road against the Saints without Devontae. They're the first team in the history of the NFL in their first 3 games to score 35 points in each game and not turn the football over. So this reminds me a lot right now of what the Rams were, their first run with Jared Goff and Sean McVay. In Aaron Rodgers' post-game comments, he said, Matt is really getting the rhythm of our play calling. That is a massive deal in the NFL. When you, as a quarterback, understand your play caller is in rhythm, that's when you feel really dangerous. And Max, that's where I would disagree with you is, and Stephen A., somewhat with you as well. The only difference, or the difference, wasn't just the quarterbacks. Matt LaFleur is calling as good a games as anybody in the NFL right now. The Packers have the best offensive line in football right now. Stephen A., you're saying the Saints have other people, and I agree with you, but they're not playing the way Alan Lazard is playing for Green Bay. Like, Alan Lazard is a better receiver than Emmanuel Sanders right now. He has developed.
Well, yes.
Question about the offseason. We were all critical of drafting a quarterback.
Correct.
In the first round. But it seems to have, like, not, I know Aaron Rodgers is internally motivated, but now it seems to go to 11. Is that, do they deserve credit for lighting a fire under a middle-aged quarterback?
Well, this wasn't a purposeful thing. They took their quarterback when they didn't need to. That's why Jordan Love in the first round was the right decision. But what happened was we undervalued, probably because we don't know, the development of their receivers, like Valdez Scantling and Tanyan the tight end, Jay Sternberger. We undervalued the impact of coaching.
Really? So,
Stephen
A., hold on. So, in other words, with no preseason.
Right.
All right? No preseason. Correct. Barely any. I mean, we know they have training camp and all of that stuff, but right. We understand the compromised world that we're living in because of the coronavirus pandemic. So, with no preseason, just three games in,
right.
We're ready to say that. Oh, the development of the receivers. I understand that Lazard had a big game yesterday. But
he's
let's also.
Big, time, out, big game
time, time out, time out. Let me tell you what I think you're ignoring. What have we lamented about the New Orleans Saints for years? They ain't the same team at home that they are on the road.
Right.
Now, yeah, they were home. But was that really home without those fans? It's a different team. It's a different team when they're on the road. It's a different team when they're
it's like a high school more game specifically, home for your
family. More specifically, they're a different team when they're away from their fans. You combine that with Michael Thomas not being right. there, and I think that goes a long way
but
towards compromising
like
anything that you're saying about because I'm looking at Green Bay, and I'm like, who are you really going against? If you're going against a Saints team without Michael Thomas, without the fans, the combination of the two and the
they
way.
They scored 37 without Devontae Adams.
Excuse me. Yeah, you could say that against New Orleans to me, which is not that big of a deal because of what we've highlighted about
what
New
about
Orleans
more than 35 points
past.
In the first three games of the season?
Without a turnover. Okay.
Well, listen, I'm not saying that Green Bay scrubs. I'm saying they was in the NFC Championship game last year, okay?
And they look better.
You think they got better? I'm not sure yet.
I want to say something about Aaron Rodgers.
What else do you want to see out of them through the first three games, Stephen A?
As the season progresses, we'll see more because I think that everybody's compromised the first few games.
But you can say the same thing about New Orleans.
Hold it. Did you not come on this show a week ago and say the first month of the season was like preseason?
Sure.
Because we have, did you say that?
Yes.
All right, then. So why are we making a big deal about preseason?
So why are you concerned about New Orleans?
Because New Orleans.
They can get better if the season gets going.
Because I'm looking at them without Michael Thomas. I'm looking at them leaning on Alvin Kamara. I'm looking at them without the fans in attendance. And I'm saying they're a different ball club right. when they're away from their fans and they're away from New Orleans. Historically,
I want to be very clear about Aaron right. Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a champion. He's one of the best who ever did it. I thought yes. he was the best who ever did it until I saw Patrick Mahomes, actually. I'm not questioning his internal drive, but external motivating factors yeah. help. That's why you have bulletin okay. board material. That's okay. why you hear all-time greats say, no
I
one thought we could do it. When they drafted a quarterback in the first round sure. after a 13-win season and a playoff
up.
Win,
yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, now in year two of a system, more right. comfortable, was as motivated as a person could
be. So you think it actually ended up working out? A little it, fire, it's better than them
the,
getting
the receivers
help
have developed.
Yeah.
There will be receivers available yeah. on the market,
I'm not
the trade market.
That, I'm not,
and Rodgers
but I'm not
incredible.
Saying that receivers haven't developed, but we rave about Russell Wilson, and we see the development right. of Tyler Lockett, but we also see that they made sure to get somebody like a DK Metcalf, and you're trying to tell me that the Green Bay Packers
we'll
made the
that.
Right decision by not drafting a receiver
and
instead drafting his back?
By the way.
Instead drafting his backups?
Yes. Dan, I said it that we night. Did the Cowboys last block, but it looked like you were right about the Cowboys in terms of the draft, too. I mean, this is no-knock C-Day Lim sensational, but they should have went defense.
That was
they
the wrong pick. Yes, he's
they
a
needed
great
defensive
player.
Help, and
their
you were defense, the one that said that.
And Dak has to play perfect football to win. The last point I'll make yeah. on Rodgers, he looks the best he's looked in 4 or 5 years. I said it after week one. It was his best game. He looks the best he has looked in 4 or 5 years.
No
he's
question.
He's a bad man.
All right. The Saints are 1-2 man. Tied for second in the division behind who, Max? Tom Brady and his ravine. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Stephen A. Smith, it's all you ever dreamed of. The Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers in a final. However, pandemic piece, more of a nightmare.
Let's go to number one on the list. You ready for this, Max? L.A., Miami.
Oh, my God.
Why? Because we're talking about my social life. That's why. We're talking about the palm trees, the sunshine. We're talking about L.A., Miami, NBA Finals. I'm not saying it's going to happen, of course. But if we're talking about my wish list, being sent to work, and for the month of June, I got to be stuck in Miami or L.A.? Let's just say I'll get over that. I'll get over that.
You got your wish.
Yeah. You don't want to spend a month in the sunshine.
Can we move on, y'all? Can we move on?
You don't want to frolic in the ocean.
Your wish came through.
Pacific Ocean.
South Beach and La La, and we at the seaport in New York. You know, I grew up in Queens. You know, this is just 20 minutes from here. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing special. All right? There's nothing special about being home right now. Okay? Okay? Y'all satisfied? Satisfied?
Isn't that where the heart is, Stephen A? Home is where the heart is.
What do you want no. to do? Eat at
no, not when South Beach and Lala are options. Not when South Beach and Lala are supposed to be options. I mean, and not only that, look, you wanted that in June when it's warm everywhere. But now that it's October, I mean, my God.
That's your wish.
You're right.
You know, I mean, it makes it even worse.
It'd be special.
Can we move on? Social life's really hurting right now. Perk understands what it is. He knows about those cities well. All right, LeBron's 10th trip to the NBA Finals. Perk knows about being in the finals. Stephen A., does this now close the gap on MJ if he wins?
Hell no. Look, I'm not changing my mind in this position. I don't know how many times I got to tell people, look, LeBron James is on my Mount Rushmore. He's top two, top three all time. He will never get a vote over Jordan from me. Now, maybe Grandpa Perkins, you understand, that goes out there and wants to speak like some aristocratic senior citizen that blesses us all with his knowledge, even though Kendrick Perkins, I got news for you, you're only 35 years of age, my brother. I looked it up, November 10th, your birthday. You turned 35 years old. You ain't 55. You haven't even reached a half century yet. 35. You don't qualify as a senior citizen. I do, okay? But let me tell you this right now. Michael Jordan, the greatest, the GOAT, okay? I'm not going to even bring up, it's not just about the 7 consecutive years the brother averaged plus 30. It's not the 6 NBA Finals and an unblemished record in the NBA Finals. It's not just the fact that he never even allowed a series in the Finals to reach 7 games, okay? There's something about the road you travel to get there. And nobody wants to pay attention to the level of competition that you had to go against en route to that level of greatness you ultimately accomplished. LeBron James, in terms of all-around talent, you could make an argument, of course, that he had more talent. He was a better passer than Michael Jordan. He was bigger. He could do some things, obviously, because of his sheer physical prowess. We get all of that. But mental toughness wasn't even in the same league. Wasn't even the same league, in the same stratosphere, okay? So we got to take those things into consideration. We got to look at it for what it is. We got to look at the fact that Jordan, who did he have to go through? Those bad boy Pistons. And listen, you got guys like Isaiah Thomas committing his blasphemy, going on the airwaves, talking about LeBron in the same way that Kendrick Perkins probably will as well, forgetting what Jordan had to go through. And Isaiah had his success against Jordan, make no mistake about it, but he ultimately got knocked off. And I will leave it at this. We could talk about the 9 NBA Finals, which are now 10 for LeBron James, the 8 consecutive appearances to the NBA Finals. All I'm going to tell you is this. The last 6 years that Michael Jordan played in his prime, a full season, he won the title every year. 1 year he left for baseball, then he came back for 17 games left, wasn't in shape, lost to Orlando with Shaq and Nick Anderson and Dennis Scott and those boys, and made them pay the price when he came back for a full season, and they won 72 games after they acquired Dennis Rodman. In the end, there is something to be said about those who have paved the way. And Michael Jordan is that dude. He did that for LeBron. And I want to say it again, Max, for emphasis. When I say never,
there's very few things in life that I say never, and you know, because never is hard to apply.
Never say never.
When it comes to LeBron James being ranked over MJ, I will never, ever make that proclamation. Well, not as long as I'm living and breathing. It will not happen.
I mean, I would if I thought it was true or if it was true.
Saying, if
LeBron gave me evidence that he was better than MJ, I would say LeBron's better than MJ. By the way, I hated MJ as a kid, right? Like, he was killing my Knicks all the time. But it was obvious then, it's obvious today, his peak was the highest peak ever attained, including LeBron. It's fairly obvious. Look, first of all, you're 35, Perk. I could have sworn in 1960 you fought Sonny Liston at the Sam Houston Coliseum. Are you sure you're 35? This is the oldest 35-year-old I've ever seen in my life. I think you were born at 35. Secondly, since you're only 35, maybe you missed living through the real Michael Jordan era. So let me tell you about it. It's not that I have anything against LeBron. For his career, overall career value, you want to draft a guy and be competitive for the longest time you can. LeBron could be your number one pick. If that's how you define greatest ever, I don't think that's really what we mean. Michael Jordan had a 10-year prime. He was 9-time all-first team defense. He played about 82 games a year, sometimes 80 or 81. Almost every season it was 82. He played like 40 minutes a game. And almost every single year, first team all-NBA defense. He also led the league in scoring every single year. His PER, meaning his efficiency, was higher than LeBron at his best. Okay, well, those are just numbers about individual play. Michael Jordan, the first time he played with one other All-Star, first time, was Scottie Pippen. Pippen was not yet in his prime. Jordan took the Pistons 7 games. They were defending champs. They lost in game 7 because Pippen had a migraine, scored 2 points in 40 minutes. The next year, Pippen reached his prime. So the second time Jordan played with one other All-Star, he never again didn't win the finals in under 7 games. He was 6-for-6. When Stephen A. says he didn't just beat the Orlando Magic when he came back. He swept them. They were a 60-win team with a prime Shaq and Penny. Swept them. Jordan, his peak was simply more dominant than LeBron's. And I think that's what we're talking about when we say greatest. Jim Brown didn't play as long as some of the others who played his position. But Jim Brown's peak was higher than theirs. When you say who's the greatest running back, you talk about Jim Brown. Sandy Koufax didn't pitch as long as someone like Roger Clemens or Tom Seaver. But when we say greatest, we point to Koufax because his peak was better than theirs. Michael Jordan reached higher heights than LeBron James. That's what we're talking about when we say greatest of all time. For career value, LeBron's been number one. If he wins again this season, it just puts more distance between him and Kareem.
Well, you know what? I'm glad both of you guys brought up ages today and looked me up and Googled me and found out that I was 35. Yeah, I'm 35. I'm 35 with an old soul. I was raised by my grandparents. And what I've known is that I also Googled you and Max before I came on the show. And Stephen A., you're 52 years old, and Max, you're 47 years old, and both of you guys are walking. Both of you guys are borderline senior citizens,
we're
and 99, I get it. So being raised in a household
Stephen A. are 99
by
years
my
old
grandparents,
combined.
No, being raised in a household by my grandparents, I've learned one thing. That old people are stuck in their ways, and you cannot change their mind. That's what you and Max are today. Y'all stuck in y'all ways, and y'all some haters. Because if I go argue with my grandfather and some of his friends, when they used to talk, God rest their soul, it used to be Kareem, Wilt, Bill Russell. Jordan was never in the conversation. So move down 10 years later, now I'm talking to you, Stephen A. and Max, and all of a sudden it's Jordan. So y'all would never give the proper props to the younger generation because y'all are haters. Michael Jordan and LeBron James are sitting at the same dinner table. If Michael Jordan order a ribeye, LeBron James is going to order a ribeye with a bone in. So what you're talking about right now, it doesn't make sense to me. It's no gap. Both of these guys, you could close your eyes and say, just pick one. That resume is equal. It matches up. You could close your eyes and pick one, and you won't be wrong. When you look at LeBron James, Stephen A., I heard you talking about, Michael Jordan, he had a harder path. Excuse me. Last time I checked, LeBron had one of the greatest NBA championships of all time, coming down back from 3-1.
Oh, don't get me started with that.
73-19 in the Golden State Warriors.
He did.
And let me finish. That's you let me finish. I let you go on and ramble for about 10 minutes. You let me finish. And then let's talk about the weak Eastern, the weak Eastern Conference. The weak Eastern Conference. Oh, LeBron James, yeah, he was in the weak East. Now he moved over there to the West with Max, your boy, Kawhi Leonard, that you said was better than LeBron, that couldn't close this Denver Nuggets team out that was up 3-1. LeBron had to show you, Max, how to do it, and he did it in great fashion. 38, 14, and 10. And guess what? Stephen A., I heard you in the first round. You better watch out for Dame Dollar. And Dame Dollar is a bad boy. Gentleman sweep. Second round, these Rockets, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Mike D'Antoni, this system, two MVPs, gentleman sweep. The Denver Nuggets, oh, they love being down 3-1. Yeah, to the Clippers they do, not to the Lakers. Another gentleman sweep. Now he's moving in. You talk about a kid from Akron, but guess what? He resides in the NBA Finals. That's where his home at, because he spent more than 58% in there. That's where he lives at. And by the way, it's only one other player in NBA history that have sustained this level of greatness for this period of time, and that was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Here it is, almost two decades later, and we're still talking about LeBron James. So, first of all, carry on.
Well, I will carry on. First of all, let's get a couple of things straight here. Number one, LeBron James saying that he's on a Mount Rushmore of basketball is not an insult. Your definition of hater is entirely different than mine. All I said is that he'll never get the nod over Michael Jordan by me. That doesn't mean that he doesn't deserve to be on the Mount Rushmore in basketball. And if you consider that haterism, then that makes you nothing short of a troll. Basically, somebody that wants to sit up there and say, well, you know what? Oh, my goodness. LeBron is being victimized because we've said he might be number two all time. I mean, stop the presses. We just totally disrespect them by saying such a thing. That's number one. Number two, it is undeniable that the road traveled through the Eastern Conference was highly questionable for many years. Number three, that point is accentuated with him going to Miami to join D-Wade and Chris Bosh, because that definitely gave them the bomb squad. Number four, don't get me started, because this is where Max and I jump off the rails, Kentra Perkins. Don't get me started with that damn stimulus package. That damn stimulus package that LeBron James was handed when they came back from 3-1. Listen, hold on, wait a minute. Let me remind the audience, and I'll let y'all go. Let me remind the audience of this. Golden State goes up 3-1 by winning game four in Cleveland. Draymond Green gets that bogus suspension because he kicked his leg up.
LeBron goaded him.
Hold on. After LeBron slammed him to the floor, when he suspended for that game five, Andrew Bogut and Andre Iguodala, who was considered, especially at that time, to be one of the elite defenders.
Still is.
Okay, and still is to some degree in crunch time anyway. Both of them got hurt that game, and so all of that happened. And that's why I called it a stimulus package given to LeBron in Cleveland by the NBA, that 3-1. Let's not forget all of that. These are facts here.
Look, let me just say something real quick, Perk, before we get out of here. I'm not hating on LeBron. I think he's clearly number two. I think if he wins the finals this year, he passes Kareem, right? Because Kareem spent those years in college. We're just talking about the pros. I'm remembering Jordan's prime. I'm comparing their primes. LeBron's prime is longer. Jordan's prime is higher. Not only that season that I mentioned when he came back and beat the 60-game prime Shaq and Penny and Horace Grant. Magic swept them. They'd gone to the finals the year before. He beat a 64-win Seattle team. His last two championships came against Karl Malone, John Stockton, with a great coach, and Hornacek on that team. Three great players and a great coach. 60-win teams. Never went seven games. You're right. LeBron has had to slay the monster. That's something Michael Jordan never had to do, because Michael Jordan was the monster. He was the monster.
So you mean to tell me, so you did you just bring up Jeff Hornacek? Did you have the audacity to bring up Jeff Horn to say
as a that's third like best player on a team?
Dan
as the
Marley.
Third best player on a team?
You know, do you know what LeBron James would have did to Jeff Hornacek and Thunder Dan, Dan Marley?
Stockton,
do you know what it would have been? It would have been barbecue chicken and smother ribs. Don't come chunking no Jeff Hornacek name out there like
that. How many times did Jordan lose in the finals?
When LeBron James was going against, oh my God, Max, you lost me with the Jeff Hornacek.
Hold on. You can give him the loss, the first loss in the finals. They had no business being in the finals. That's credit to LeBron. The last two losses to the Warriors, there's no way he was going to beat them. No disrespect to LeBron at all. That was an impossible-to-beat Warriors team. LeBron did good just by getting there. I agree. But what about the loss to Dallas? What about the loss to San Antonio in his last year in Miami? Jordan's not losing.
I'm kind of with Kendrick Perkins here. You lost me when you brought up Jeff Hornacek.
You act like Hornacek wasn't excellent.
He has no business being mentioned.
This is the hard part of my job.
Because that was so good, Perk. I was so entertained.
You were preaching the good word right there. But we do have to get a commercial. By the way, speaking of finals appearances, do you know who has more than LeBron in this matchup? Oh, that would be Pat Riley, 17, as a coach, player, and exec, right?
Oh, get him.
Perk, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. That was money.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It was the rookie Joe Burrow versus Carson Wentz. Both quarterbacks looking to avoid 0-3 starts, which they did, but they didn't add to the win column either. Philly Cincy ending in a 23-23 tie. What's on your mind?
I told him in the locker room after the game that we weren't a very, very, very smart football team today. I think 11 penalties. Came at crucial times. And we couldn't get off the field on defense and offensively. We didn't execute well enough. We had some injuries, but that's going to be part of the game. But just not a smart football team right now, and that's on me, and we'll get that fixed.
All right, Dan Orlovsky back here with us. By the way, guys, Doug Peterson spoke this morning on Philly Sports Radio 94.1, and he said when he was asked should he bench Wentz, obviously they did draft Jalen Hurts there. He said it's a knee-jerk reaction. You don't go there. So doesn't plan on benching him. I see your face, Max Kellerman.
Hurts got to show this much in practice, and then we'll see.
How would you fix these Eagles?
First of all, do we have tape of the game? Because, Dan, I'd just like you to look at some throws. You don't have to even select the bad ones. They're like two or three good ones. Look at this. Here's Carson Wentz, execution and decision-making. Carson, Dan, you are great at breaking down tape.
That's probably going to be a bang-bang play. Good bit picked anyway, but it's going to get tipped. This is a terrible throw. That ball should be on Ertz's left shoulder. Just throw it on his left shoulder, not his right shoulder. Don't throw it inside. Make sure that you pull him all the way to the sideline. That's just a terrible throw.
Yeah, but that was like the whole game. There are only two or three good throws by Wentz. Right. All game. Let me tell you how I would fix the Eagles. Carson Wentz was paid to carry a franchise. When you get paid that kind of money, it's you have to overcome some things because you got to rob Peter to pay Paul in the NFL. He is not the kind, clearly the more he has to overcome, the worse he plays. He tries to do too much. Why won't he run RPOs? Isn't that the quarterback's best friend? Like, what's the matter with him? Why won't he listen to Doug Peterson and run the offense? Why does he make so many bad decisions? Such poor execution. He has regressed shockingly. I insist this is a continuation of last year. I think it's ridiculous that people won't acknowledge, Dan Orlovsky, that they drafted Jalen Hurts instead of trading up to grab the receiver they really should have gotten because they didn't believe in Carson Wentz. They needed an insurance policy. So here's what I'd do, okay? That's an unmovable contract. Except, remember the 1 year Carson Wentz? The reason that Dan, I think, still loves him, because I loved him for a while for this. The 1 year Carson Wentz looked like an MVP through most of the season. Who was his offensive coordinator?
Frank Reich.
Where's Frank Reich now?
Indianapolis.
Let me tell you something. Philip Rivers is playing well at his age. But given Philip Rivers' age and his performance in recent seasons, if I were the Eagles, I'd bide my time and see if Philip Rivers continues to play well. And at some point this season, I might offer Carson Wentz in a trade. Just move that contract off your books now. Send him to a place with the guy with whom, the only guy with whom he's had real success in the NFL, and move on.
But Rivers
That's
is
how
at
bad
the end of his career, so how's that a fair trade?
No, you don't trade him for Philip Rivers. You simply clear the decks of, you get draft picks, if you can. That contract's so bad, and Carson Wentz is so bad, he's like statistically the worst starter in the NFL at quarterback. It's so bad right now, I don't think you may not get anything in return. I don't know. Whatever you can is gravy. But if you can move him there to a team that thinks, oh, we got a guy where he could be MVP, right? You do it if you're the Eagles. You get out of this contract now.
I will say this, and then I'll let you go. Yeah. I'm going to go last, yeah. But I just want to interject by saying that's one of the most idiotic ideas I've ever heard you make. Carson Wentz is 27 years old. With his talent and a former MVP candidate, because we've seen over the last several games, you just pointed out how Frank Reich is in Indy. Why can't the Eagles prioritize finding another Frank Reich? That'll be easier than finding another Carson Wentz.
To find the worst statistical quarterback in the game is hard.
The worst statistical quarterback in the game for three games this season. He's 27 years of age. We're watching one quarterback play until he's 43. We got another quarterback in Drew Brees that's 41. We see guys like Aaron Rodgers talk about, I got several years left, and he's about 35, 36 years of age. And at 27, when he was 25, he was an MVP caliber talent. Yep, but at 27, he's struggling. And rather than go out and find another coach, meaning a coordinator that could work with him, you say get rid of him. Go ahead.
By the way, it's an unmovable contract. I don't think you could move the contract.
Then don't bring up the point to do it. Also, don't bring up the point that Carson Wentz can't carry a team around him when we're 9 months removed from what happened last year,
he was
Max.
Garbage at the end of last season.
Oh, my gosh. Max, last year he did things that have not been done in the history of the NFL, that he just lucks into that stuff. I love how all the Carson Wentz haters, it's a convenient time right now to pretend like last year didn't happen. Also, don't say the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts because they don't believe in Carson Wentz. Because if they did not believe in Carson Wentz, this would be the ideal time to sit Carson Wentz. To your point, he stinks right now. So if they didn't believe in him, this is the perfect opportunity to do this. How do you fix the Eagles? You got to get rid of fear. Fear has overcome this organization. Fear has overcome Doug Peterson. This is the same coach that in the Super Bowl calls Philly special on fourth and goal. This is the same coach that two drives later in that Super Bowl goes for it on fourth and three from his own 40-yard line. They've made Carson Wentz play scared.
Made him play scared.
There's a fear of him getting hurt. Is there not? Is there not?
You know what, Dan? I agree with that. Okay, so they need to take the handcuffs off him a little bit.
Yes, yep. But there is a fear of Carson Wentz getting hurt. Mm-hmm. So, hey, can we get him to play this way? Because we don't want him to get injured. Yesterday, it's the fourth quarter, or it's overtime. It's fourth and 12 with 19 seconds left on the clock, and you punt. That is being scared to lose the football game. You 100 out of 100 times, offense, go out there. Go make a play. Quarterback, I believe that you'll go make this play. And defense, if we don't, get a stop. Worst case scenario, we tie this football game. In that moment, Doug Peterson told me, I don't believe in Carson Wentz. I don't believe in my defense.
No, he didn't believe in Carson Wentz not turning the ball over. You got the ball back.
It's 4th and 12. Who cares if you turn it
over? You have a minute 41 in overtime. You get the ball back on the 45, and of course you're scared because Carson Wentz is a turnover machine right now.
Max runs for a first down, and they get holding. They're going to have the ball at the 30-yard line, and there's a holding penalty. Like, that happened. The play calling was what it was.
Against the Cincinnati defense.
And that's
getting the ball on the 45 in overtime. You wind up opting not to kick a field goal because you couldn't get any field position.
Max, I literally just said he scrambles to the 30-yard line and they get a holding penalty. You 100.
The Bengals.
Yes, exactly.
Who was the best quarterback on the field yesterday?
Joe Burrow. But that's why you go for it. That's why you don't punt.
Of course you go for it.
And that's why I'm talking. Fear has overcome that organization.
Let me tell you why you'd be scared. First of all, the injury concerns, which aren't Carson Wentz's fault, are legitimate. He was oft injured.
Sure.
But I agree with you. Maybe they went too much in the other direction, turned him into something he's not. That's fine. They are scared of him making mental and physical errors at this point. That's why Peterson calls that kind of game. Yes!
But
sit him down.
But you shouldn't.
Because you have a rookie quarterback. Who knows what he's showing in practice right now behind Carson Wentz?
The likelihood is that he's not showing much, which is why he's
agreed.
Not been in there.
Agreed.
But we also have to remember DeSean Jackson left the game early. Who else left the game early? Dallas Goedert left the game early.
Correct.
Jalen Reagor was hurt. So you've got three weapons that Carson Wentz can rely upon that weren't available to him yesterday, which is why he was leaning on Zach Ertz heavily. Mm-hmm. And then you got a guy in Greg Ward that used to be a quarterback in college, but that was your third string receiver last year, and you're relying upon him. How many targets? He was targeted 11 times. Ertz was targeted 10 times. And that's what you have to look at. Carson Wentz, again, we know he's been a problem. There is no question about that. But once again, the Eagles have been ravaged by injuries,
right.
Not to mention the fact that not only are they ravaged by injuries, but every time that's the case, Carson Wentz feels the need to overcompensate. He got grilled for trying to overcompensate the first two games of this season. He looked a little bit timid out there, and his coach looked timid as well.
Even like the fourth quarter drive,
Molly.
Is
this more mental or is it coaching?
Oh, it's both. Like, listen, they're 0-3 football team. They're broken as a team. Their quarterback's broken.
You have a franchise quarterback. You should be able to overcome that. Look, guys.
No, you shouldn't.
Just like, even in the fourth quarter, the comeback, no pass was completed for over 11 yards. He was aided by defensive penalties. Just like at the end of last season against the Giants and Washington, an inferior opponent wilted. A bad team wilted late and still left with a tie.
This is what I don't like about the argument with you sometimes, is you will cherry pick the realities of some stuff. Like, yes, on that touchdown drive, no ball went deep because Stephen A. just pointed out they've been decimated by injuries. The point is this. If you are going to put the kid out on the field and it gets to 4th-and-12, you walk him out there and say, go win the football game for us or give us a chance to. Because right now, here's the problem with the decision that fear was led with yesterday. Carson Wentz has to go to Doug Peterson and go, why did you not put me on the field to go win the football game yesterday? And I don't think he can answer that question. And to Stephen A.'s point, that's the big issue right now. This defense has no turnovers. This defense has zero takeaways. Their issues are bigger than just Carson Wentz.
Kelce doesn't come up with the fumble on before the touchdown pass, it would have been even worse for Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, what's ridiculous to me is this. At the end of last season, you and others were lauding Carson Wentz. You've forgotten more football than I've ever known. I'm not comparing myself to you. I think you have a blind spot for Carson Wentz. At the end of last season, I noticed, what do I have, an axe to grind against Carson Wentz? I was a big supporter of his. But I noticed bad decision-making and bad execution. So I started pointing it out. And the more I started pointing it out, the more I heard, no, Carson Wentz is actually the reason they're winning in this sorry division. They were beating inferior opponents. They were lucky to do so. He was fumbling and turning the ball over late in the fourth quarter on third down. They were lucky to win. Now, the front office saw what I saw and drafted a quarterback in the second round. And now the bad decision-making is continuing the downward trend.
I think you're trying to hold on to a point that you were making last year, which was ill-advised as far as I'm concerned. But here's the point. I know we have to go, Molly. All I want to say is this. I think the problem with both of you right now is that you're entirely too emotional. I think we all need to calm down.
Oh, you're telling people to not be emotional?
Calm down.
I don't want to hear Stephen so be loud ever again.
You're telling people to not be emotional.
I just think we need to be a little bit more calm.
I'm very caffeinated. The game kept me up.
That's all I'm saying.
I will leave you with this. The Eagles own the hardest remaining schedule in the NFL. I'm just telling you. You know who has the easiest the rest of the way?
The Cowboys.
Your Cowboys.
I'm going to throw up in my mouth.
Look, you are prepared. That's why you're good at your job.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.